This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey guys, a few announcements before we begin today. First off, we hit our Patreon stretch goals, so we're going to be releasing an extra episode every month, the first of which will be DM'd by Caldwell for a bonus campaign designed by him. We're going to be doing a video stream of that episode over on the Patreon for all our patrons on this Sunday, November 11th at 1 p.m. Pacific time. If you are not a patron, the episode will be uploaded in audio form to the feed, so don't worry. If you want to see the stream, join the Patreon. It's patreon.com/nadpod, and the video will be available during and after the stream for all our patrons. Guys, the holidays are coming up, so our schedules are going to be a little bit funky with travel and whatnot. We are not taking any weeks off, but we are going to be doing a few non-campaign episodes over the holidays. So here they are. On Thanksgiving, we'll be releasing another Hearthside chat where we'll be answering your questions and talking about the campaign thus far. On Thursday, December 20th, we're going to be doing a Crickmas special, which will see the band of boobs go on a Crickmas adventure. And then on December 27th, we'll be releasing a year-end episode where we're going to share some mulled wine and talk about our favorite moments of the adventure so far and discuss the year ahead. But that's a few weeks away. For now, let's get into today's episode.
Welcome to the campaign after the campaign. This is not another D&D podcast.
Welcome back to Bahumia, everyone.
Bahumia.
I'm your Dungeon Master, ooh, Brian Murphy, joined by Jake Hurwitz.
Hard One Surefoot.
Emily Axford.
Moonshine Sabin. Caller of Lightning. Keeper of the Trident. Pretty fucking frightening.
Oh, nice. You grabbed your head and leaned back. Were you trying to think of your poem for this week?
Yeah. I had so much time.
And, of course, Caldwell Tanner.
Beverly Togol the Fifth, looking to get hammered.
Ooh, okay. Nice.
Mm. Or find a hammer, one or the other.
Both.
Yeah.
I walked me down.
Ooh,
why the heck not, right? Hammered. It's been a long day.
Yeah, you guys should just get drunk. Nothing bad will happen. So let's do a little recap. Last week, you guys faced off against the Harvester Beast, who was attempting to perform a dark ritual on a dwarfin named Joris. After a close battle with the beast and several of Akaroth's acolytes, you rescued Joris, but the lad suffered a devastating injury during the battle and lost one of his eyes. Beverly and Moonshine performed an exorcism on him and prevented him from becoming one of Akaroth's eyeless footmen, and you saw Akaroth's eye retreat from Joris's empty eye socket. You fashioned him an eye patch, and he filled you in on what info he knew. Joris was promised 1,000 gold to the Frostwind Dwarfenage, provided he track Gerard Coldane and Gemma Bronzebeard, as well as help Akaroth infiltrate the wedding welcome party. During his time working with Akaroth, Joris overheard the man who ordered the hit on Gemma and Gerard, and you learned that Akaroth did the hits in exchange for the demiplanar prison gemstones. You learned that when Gerard, aka the Pale Prince, was killed out on a hunt in the tundra, he was wielding the King's Hammer, which the man who ordered the hit was not happy about. You then searched the rest of the underground tunnels and found a bunch of Akaroth's failed hollow bodies that Akaroth was able to inhabit to talk to you, but weren't powerful enough to attack you with. There, he informed you that the King's Hammer was in the possession of the Giants, and that they planned to use it to smash the planar crack in the sky above Mount Forge and bring chaos to the realm, and that's where you are now. So you guys are in this room, full of graffiti, painted signs of Akaroth all over the stone room with torches and candles lighting them, this triangle with a circle in the middle. You've chopped up a bunch of these failed hollowed bodies, but there are still about three of them left, one of which Akaroth is still inhabiting.
Oh, he's still in there.
And they'll chaos to the realm, and then we'll bring order.
Akaroth, okay. Why don't you say you turn over some of these hollow bodies to us, and we'll use them as hollow buddies.
That was a great pun. We love puns in hell.
That makes sense.
You should join me. Join me, sweet sister of hell. Sweet lover of puns.
I'm going to finish off the hollow bodies, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's go to town.
Can we take one of those, like, salad choppers to him? You know when you get, like, a bowl and it's like a curved blade?
Oh, yeah, like when you go to Chopped?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man, I miss the Chopped in Galateron.
I have some salad tongs in the other room if you want to just toss me around.
I
would think you would hate it.
Hold on, wait. Salad.
You love order.
I do love order, but it's after chaos. First chaos, and then eat the salad in an orderly fashion.
Can I roll to Mortal Kombat style, reach into his chest and grab out his heart?
Sure. Yeah, you pull out just this gray heart that is slowly beating.
Oh, really?
Ever so slowly.
I definitely look over to Hardwon and Bev because I look pretty cool right now.
Yeah, I take a mental snapshot.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, could everyone remember that? Because I'm going to need Pawpaw to hear about it.
I'm out of storage on my speaking stone. Otherwise.
I'm worried he's enjoying this.
Oh, yeah,
this.
You have all those texts to Gemma. Because you won't delete your long history.
Oh, yeah, and it's a Tuesday, so you don't get the weekend plan.
Yeah, I was going to publish it all into a scroll for her.
I get the feeling that he's kind of enjoying this.
Yeah, his face is still there as the veins and arteries are pulled from his hollow body.
You know what? Okay, I shove it back in.
Thank you.
Do a hasty patch up. Okay, I rapport spores, my friends.
You're out of rapport spores for the day.
It's been a long day.
Oh, motherfucker.
Whatever you're going to do, just go for it.
All right.
I'll trust you implicitly.
I'll just say to y'all.
I cover Akarat's eyes. Yeah.
You see Joris just looks up at you with his one good eye.
We could just leave the room.
Right, I know, but I feel like us killing these hollow bodies is kind of getting him off. So I'm like, what is the opposite of killing these hollow bodies? It's taking them out on the town. Should we take an Akarat out of the town?
Actually, that's a great idea. Let's take... Oh, wait, but Akarat will be in it, right?
Can he, like, retreat from it?
Yeah, can we just take one of the ones that doesn't have his face on it?
Sure.
Is it, like, a dead body?
It looks like a dead body.
Oh, it's not animated.
He'll be able to get into it.
Not all of his faces are animated. You know that from what you saw of him using the assassin's body, from what you saw of him using the paladin body... His face, like, appears in them. He can only do one at a time. So he's in this one that Moonshine just ripped the heart out of.
But I put it politely back in.
No, all these things are, like, little spies for him. We shouldn't have one among us.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to insult him in some way, and I thought promenading him about town might be the way to do it.
You can't insult me. I'm a dirty little boy. I like to be insulted.
Fuck order.
What?
I start shuffling a deck of cards.
That's fine. It doesn't upset me. The aces, all four of the aces were in order. I was going to do a magic trick later.
I, like, untuck my pockets.
Oh, stop.
I mess up my hair.
You're just doing this because you're going to fix it later.
I open up my coat to reveal my traveling spice rack.
Oh, those aren't alphabetical order at all. This is terrible.
Let's see, we got turmeric, dill.
Oh, you can't put turmeric next to dill.
Ginger.
Wait, that one's just... Gorgon? I don't think that's a real spice.
Yeah, Pawpaw wrote him.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay. Trussalump? What are these?
I don't know. Some of them are exotic tastes from the crick, and other of them are nonsense.
This one is just ass with seven S's.
Yeah.
I'll have that one.
Yeah.
I'm going to swing my axe and kill all these guys.
Yeah.
Okay. You go and methodically chop the heads off.
Not methodically. There's no order to it. I do it randomly.
Oh, don't do it randomly.
You chop the heads off these three hollow bodies chaotically.
Really hard to get a bead on this guy.
It's tough because now if someone came down and saw this crime scene, they would think it was a crime of passion.
A little bit.
And I don't feel any passion for Akarat.
No, that's true.
He doesn't deserve my passion.
I actually feel pretty passionately about killing him, though.
Okay.
He murdered my girlfriend.
True.
And we were basically official.
Keep saying that.
You see Joris looks up at you guys, and he goes,
are you planning on going off into the tundra?
I think first we need to check back up with our friend at the bar.
Yeah, I got this skanky little rodent. I got to make sure is in tip-top shape.
Actually, I've been letting you say rodent. It's marsupial,
I know. On my speaking stone, people on...
Twatter told me all about it.
That's the crick's favorite social media app.
It's an actual otter that swims up and down the crick. Be like, hey, y'all.
Why do you ask if we're going to the tundra? You got any advice for surviving out there?
When I was tracking Pale Prince, I had to find maps for winter wolves and stuff. And also, this used to be Thieves Guild, so they had all kinds of information. If we go back to boss's office, I could probably find something for you.
Let's load up.
Yeah.
Let's get some maps.
Yeah.
So you guys walk down the hall and enter the office that Akarot was working in. This warm room with a glowing brazier. Joris rushes over to the bookshelf and begins yanking out books, searching the papers that are stuffed inside, until finally he finds this aged brown paper that appears to be a map of the surrounding area of the city, displaying the Winterwolf's towers and hunting lodges out in the tundra. And he goes...
So there is a wall around the city. Wall is about 300 feet high, made of iron, and has lots of ice on it. Very hard to climb.
Not for me, but go on.
if you can climb it, there's some magic way to get up there. That might be a good way to get over it, get into tundra.
We're not so good at climbing. We're super good at falling.
Okay. Well, actually, we are good at climbing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Even if we don't have any spell slots left?
Well, tomorrow, we're going to be real good at climbing.
Sounds great.
You know any of other ways through the wall?
Yes. You can also go through the wall. There are tunnels, but those are guarded by garrisons with soldiers. Some of them are winter wolves. Some are Frostwind city troops. You can see which are which on the map.
And he kind of points them out to you.
Factions. Cool.
Yeah. Thank you, Joris.
Yes.
Are there any secret thief tunnels that could take us right there?
Secret thief tunnels. We are in secret thief tunnels.
Okay, where do the secret thief tunnels go?
You've seen all of them.
Okay.
They are just carved out under...
Just thought it was a thief's
guild.
You know
what, Joris? In 10 years, we'll be back here, and the thief tunnels will have expanded. They will be like a little subway tunnel.
Are we going with that plan? Am I going to be thief?
Yeah.
We're putting a lot of faith in you.
Turns out Ruskak is a tiny little bitch. So you're
Ruskak,
the new
leader. Ruskak is kind of a bitch. Yes, I agree. So you can either go through the wall through one of the garrisons, or you can climb over wall. Least manned garrison is southeast corner of the city. That is where Winterwolf trainees are there. Older trainees and young cadets. That is because there are no...
That's where the puppies are.
That is where there are puppies there. There are Winter Wolf puppies there.
But also the Winter Wolf Brigade is going to be more reasonable to talk to than a Frostwind.
Yes. Winter Wolves' main job is to hunt and to fight giants. They do not care about city politics so much.
Great.
You do not want to go talk to city guards because iron dwarves rather, will come grab you.
Right. Harder to negotiate with a robot, I would say.
Yes.
Real quick, do y'all know anything about winter wolf training? What's it called in fraternities when they...
Hazing?
Hazing.
They do not haze people, but they train them.
It's very progressive.
It's not fraternity. They had their leader is a woman. They're very woke. They're...
Hard one sees Moonshine is holding a paddle.
I do hear that the iron golems haze a lot. A lot of them die every year. It's very draconian.
The iron dwarves are very fratty.
Should we head back to the tavern and check on... marsupial friend, yeah.
We gotta go see our dead friends, Joris.
Papa does like to be called a rodent, by the way.
Okay.
Papa asked that in perfect handwriting. Joris, Robin Hood rules. Steal from the rich, give to the poor, protect the dwarfinage. We're gonna come back and check on you.
Yeah, we wanna come back and see the rich of this city absolutely bankrupted and the dwarfinage... gilded in gold.
We will kill the bootlickers.
No,
we will take
no
their money.
Don't kill the bootlickers.
We will kill all of the Vinyls, all of the Coldanes, every person, just maintain balance.
Yeah.
Maintain balance.
Pickpocketing, not killing.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like we're going to come back and check on you, Joris.
Okay.
I would say mostly focus on like creating like a metropolitan underground system of tunnels. That seems like a good use of time.
Joris, you have a good heart. You wanted to steal for your sister. You wanted to protect the orphanage. We're giving you that opportunity. You can do it yourself. You don't have to work for the goddamn devil.
If somebody has like a billion gold, you could probably kill them. Million gold, leave them.
Yeah, Bev.
Okay, I will not kill anyone unless they have a billion gold.
No. I'm just saying at that point.
No matter who they are, as long as if they are very, very rich, I'm allowed to kill them. I understand.
You might be right, Bev, actually. Any kind of like accumulation of
power. I shove them
like
out the door
that.
Ahead of me.
I've been up close to it. It's not ethical.
Yeah. Guys. Yeah, I think I'm on Team Bev for this one. Kill them.
Kill the bootlickers.
You guys just quietly to himself, kill the bootlickers. Kill them. Kill all the Vinrals. You guys are just.
We did good. Oh, we did good in there.
Real quick, fuck you. I love you.
Fuck you. I love you.
You guys walk back up through the crypt, back to the first level of the crypt, and then back up into the chapel. And you see that when you walk back into the main room, only about half the kids are still there. You see the big bonfire is still going in the middle of the room. The pews are all broken. There are little perches and treehouse-like structures up in the rafters. But you see that the kids aren't swinging around in there. Everyone's just kind of huddled around the fire, looking kind of concerned. And then they look up at you guys. And you guys also see Rodian, the kid who Bev kicked his ass, is now wearing the bone armor that Ruskak was wearing.
Oh, great. Here we go.
Oh, what's going on, you little shits?
You see one of the other kids that's not Rodian goes up and goes,
Joris, what happened? Are you okay? You were inducted? Did the bus take you? And Joris goes, you fucking tell me, man. And he pulls off his eye patch and sees his big gaping hole. They go, whoa, holy shit, that is fucking hardcore.
You see the kids start to gather around Joris, extremely impressed. And Rodian starts to look jealous. He goes,
hey, guys, I'm the fucking leader now.
Rodian says this?
Rodian says this.
Can I just push him really hard?
Can I tabletop Rodian?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I like kick a little pile of rat shit so when it gets tabletopped, he goes face first into a pile?
Yeah, go ahead and roll, I guess, athletics checks to tabletop Rodian into some rat shit? You crit?
Oh, shit.
Jesus Christ, he rolled a 3 on his.
I rolled a 3.
I got a 15.
But plus my athletics, which is 4, so 7.
Okay. You have...
I got 15.
Bev is just the tabletop.
Yeah,
so
I'm probably good.
Bev gets up behind Rodian. Moonshine, you're putting rat shit down? Just
No.
You just carry rat shit? Is that in your spice cabinet?
I'm kicking it. I'm finding it in the car.
You're finding
She I'm has an uncanny it. Ability to find rats wherever she is.
We know
whether
we know
it's to feed or humiliate.
We know that Moonshine can easily find shit.
I want to do like a really nice like soccer kick.
No.
Just like right on like the inside of my
Moonshine crisp pass.
Let me lay it out for you guys what happens. Okay. So all the kids are gathering around Joris, like excited to have him back. Rodian is trying to get everyone to pay attention to him. Bev sneaks up behind him, gets in tabletop position. Hard One pushes him insanely fucking hard.
Oh, no.
He's fully airborne, flying through the air. Moonshine kicks a mound of shit. Some just like shithead kid took a shit in the corner. Moonshine found a mound of shit, kicks it. Rodian turns and yells at the exact moment that the shit is kicked at him, and a bunch of shit goes in his mouth. He goes, oh, fuck, what is that? Well, I'm gonna freaking hurl, man. And he starts hurling, and all the kids start laughing at Rodian.
Oh, Rodungian, more like.
Nice.
Thanks.
Very good.
Nice.
Fuck you, guys.
Poodian.
All right, y'all. Joris is your leader now, and you're all a little pack of Robin Hood thieves.
Yep, Joris is the new boss. We're going to come check on you. No matter what anybody says, don't kill the bootlickers. You're just robbing them.
Joris? Yeah, just steal the fleece from their pants and use it to line the dwarfenage.
That's right.
We're thieves now?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You're Thieves Guild. Y'all get to wear cool hats with feathers in them.
But you don't work for the devil. You work for Joris.
Oh, actually, I second what Bev said. Y'all have to wear...
If we come back here and there isn't a complex series of subway tunnels and you're not wearing feathers in your hat, then you fucked up.
Somebody give me a persuasion check with advantage.
That's only going to be an 8 for Moonshine.
That's going to be a 23 for Bev.
Okay.
Great. Bev is the one that needed to roll well.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys see that these kids are fucking pumped at this idea. They all start jumping up and down.
We're going to run this fucking town, man. Where's the boss? Did you kill the boss? How did he let you out of there without becoming one of his minions?
I licked the blood off my hand.
Oh, fucking so fucking hardcore, man.
Yeah, dude. That's break, devil blood.
Break it down, suck it.
It's basically alcohol.
So sick.
These kids all crowd around Joris. Joris goes,
all right, I am leader now. We go to Frostwind Dwarfenage and we get other kids.
And you see one of the kids goes, those kids at the Dwarfenage are fucking lame. You see Joris just bitch slaps him instantly.
You don't talk shit about the other Dwarfens. We're on the same side, asshole.
And everyone goes, okay, man.
I start a Joris chant.
Joris, 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 Joris,
Joris.
Long live the one-eyed bandit.
One-eyed bandit, very cool name.
Yeah, it's kind of like a penis metaphor, too. It's like, it works on both levels.
Ooh, oh, dude, right.
These are very young kids.
Yeah,
Bev.
You see Joris just goes, don't
but
fucking
Bev
tell
is their
them
age.
Here's the one-eyed snake. Oh, don't, no, please. One-eyed snake, one-eyed snake.
Well, the leader should have a little bit of levity.
I don't, yeah. Guys, come on, please.
Joris, they're all chanting one-eyed snake. They
keep
have no
light
idea why it's bad. Joris is like 17, so he does.
Guys, no, I'm not the one-eyed. He is the one-eyed snake. We love him.
I'm flashing him a bad thumbs up.
Don't. You're a fucking kid, man. Okay, we're going to Dwarfenage. We're going to get the other kids. Thank you. And
he looks at you, Hard One. He goes,
I am sorry for part I played in killing your official girlfriend, even though she is a bootlicker.
Hey, I played a part too, but our parts aren't over yet.
He gives you the predator handshake.
Yeah, dude.
I feel like the bootlickers would be like in the middle. Like
true.
The yes, people at the very top wouldn't be licking anyone's
boots.
She's just
boots. The boot, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Kill the boots.
No, don't. I grab Bev and I leave. Okay. Fireman carrying Bev out before you.
I'll send you some charts.
Yeah, you guys, so you guys start to leave the chapel. You see that a bunch of the kids start grabbing their stuff and moving into the crypts. But there is a crew led by Joris that heads out in the same direction as you guys, heading towards the Frostwind at Dwarfenage.
Should we stop at the Dwarfenage or should we head right for the tavern?
I trust him.
I'm getting a little nervous about
Papa.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
it's funny to imagine Balnor being tortured as we were shoving a kid, piece of shit into a teenager's mouth.
We've made
he
a power.
He would understand. I just believe he would.
He would.
Balnor understands when you put something inside of something else.
That's all he knows.
We turn that kid into a shit bag.
Literal shit bag.
Jesus, all right, guys.
Let's get to the tavvy. All
right,
okay.
Yeah.
So you guys are going to the tavern?
Yeah, but we're sneaking there.
Okay.
Mm.
So you guys exit Frostbite.
I'm hugging every corner of every
Zeta Jones.
Zeta. Mm-hmm. Zeta
Woo!
Jonesing across the board.
I'm humping the shadows.
So you guys sneak out of Frostbite and you guys head back towards the more working middle class area in the center city.
These are the bootlickers.
These are the bootlickers.
Yeah.
Here we are. Yes,
bootlicker
we were talking about
alley.
The boots. Yes. So we're in Bootlicker Alley. The city is eerily quiet at night. The snow softens the sound. You just hear the quiet winter breeze. I'll say as you guys are walking through Frostbite and stuff and leaving the chapel and heading back towards the Fox and the Thrush, you guys can take like a short rest.
Okay.
Much
can I do
needed.
My zealous trance?
Yes.
Okay. It'll be casual.
Okay, right. Just kind of a walking trance.
Just
sure.
A, nice a walking walk. Tweak.
Yeah, you guys get like a full short rest. And you guys arrive at the Fox and the Thrush. You see the hanging tavern sign with a painted white fox and a bird with brown spots on its breast. It's this two-story building. The curtains are closed on all the windows, including the big one out front on the first level. But you do see a little bit of glowing light behind it.
On the first level?
On the first level.
Okay. Should we go in through the front door?
Can I try and hop up and peek in the window?
That's not a bad idea.
Sure. You do see that the curtains are closed on the other windows.
Hmm.
On all the windows.
Yes.
All right, let's just go listen at the door.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Go ahead and give me a perception check.
I don't know why I always look at my... It's zero.
Yep. 11.
Remember that.
I got an 8.
17.
Ah.
17. Hard one. You hear some whispering, but you can't tell exactly what it is.
I actually just realized I got a 19. Do I know now?
You don't.
Wait.
Okay. 21,
this is,
actually.
I know the stink of my baby.
Okay.
I would like to sniff under the door to see if my baby's in there.
Just putting that nose fully under the door.
Go ahead and give me a perception check.
Must have a stuffed nose because I only got 12.
It's cold out.
Yeah.
Oh.
You do not smell Papa.
Uh-oh. Should we burst down this door?
I think so.
Yeah, we're going inside.
I'm freaking out if Papa's in there.
Well, it's a bar. We're just going to go in like we're normal patrons.
Cool. So,
actually, you know what? Sorry. You guys should go in first in case there's bronze beards there.
Okay.
Go recognize the hell out of
it. The bar is open, right?
No, the bar's closed. It's like 2 or 3 in the morning now.
Okay.
You guys have been gone for
hours. Let's just say that we're going to our room.
Well, we have
a room. Yeah.
You guys have a key because you have your room key.
Right.
All right. Let's go in.
Bev uses the key, opens the door. Moonshine and Bev, as soon as you guys enter, you see two dwarven knights in plate mail with hammers at their sides. They are guarding the stairs, going up the stairs. They have bright red beards and wear the bronze tabards of the Bronzebeard family. You see at the bar sits another red-bearded dwarf. This one is in a chain shirt with a dangling amulet. It's silver, a pendant of Moradin. It's an anvil with a bit of fire coming off of it.
Cool.
He looks to be some kind of priest or cleric. And then at a table, dimly lit by a candelabra, is Jaina Bronzebeard. She's in full armor. Her hammer is out and sitting on a chair next to her. She's just palming the bottom of it, ready to grab it at a moment's notice. And you see in the flickers of candlelight, these heavy bags under her eyes, like she's been crying. But she's just got this look of pure determination. And as soon as you enter, she goes, "I recognize you from before. You sent the owl."
"Yes."
"Yeah.
That was us."
"Come, sit down.
Where are the pair that we left for you to meet?"
"They're upstairs in their room."
"And they're safe?"
"Yes, they're safe."
"Oh.
Oh.
Thank goodness."
"Thank Melora."
Hard one, you see that one of these knights is about to close the door to the tavern.
All right, I walk in.
Hard one, you push past the Bronzebeard knights and you lock eyes with Jaina Bronzebeard. She lets out a little sigh and shakes her head like she was expecting you. And she goes, "Hard one, Surefoot, sit down and convince me not to kill you."
I walk over to the table and I go to my knee. I remove my goggles and my charisma hat.
Oh.
And going blind.
I say, "Jaina, for the love that you know I had for your sister, you must know that I had nothing to do with this, and I want more than anything to help avenge her. You can kill me if you want. Just leave me alive long enough so I can kill whoever did that to her."
You see she nods. She looks over at the other guys, and she motions for them to close the door. So you guys all sit down at this table with her. And she goes, "I don't know why you would be here and why my sister would end up dead on the same night, but I wanted to give you the benefit of the doubt. So we're going to conduct a private investigation away from the Iron Dwarves and the Coldanes and the Iron Inquisitors. This is just a Bronzebeard affair. The young Bronzebeards who I can trust, my father doesn't know about this."
I give them my axe.
Jaina takes the axe and she places it on the table in front of her. And she goes, "We worked out a deal with the owner of this establishment. We paid her well and she found different lodgings for the night. So this whole place is ours."
"The beds aren't very jumpy."
"The beds are indeed quite stiff, but I don't exactly feel like jumping on a bed tonight."
"Fair enough.
Y'all mind if I get Pawpaw down here? He's kind of an emotional support animal, and it's been a hard day."
"He's a brilliant, brilliant creature."
"It's true. This is like the longest you've ever been without him."
"I know, and I feel naked." "Which usually I like that feeling, but right now it don't feel right."
"When I came in before, there was a possum, and there was a man wearing a cloak, a little halfling."
"It's Beverly's third dad."
"Beverly's third dad.
That's our squad."
"Okay.
Yeah.
He's going to have to stay up in the room, but we can send you the possum down."
"That's fine with me."
"Okay."
"He's probably tired."
She motions to the guards. One of them goes up, comes down a couple minutes later with Papa, and Papa's like,
oh, it's okay. Come nestle.
And he comes and he jumps into Moonshine's overalls.
Got it real sweaty for you in there.
And she goes, you are already suspects. There are two running theories. One is that the Vinerals had something to do with this. Svetlana and Rory Vineral have already been brought in to the Iron Inquisitors for questioning. And the other theory is that you all had something to do with this. They know that you're here, Hard One. I know you were sneaking around, but really? They know that you're here.
Crazy disguise.
I turned him into a goddamn wolf. It was pretty awesome.
Is that how you did it?
Yeah.
No, that's not how we did anything. That's how I got invited to the party, all right?
Yeah. We have a third theory, and it does involve the devil's son, but the devil's son did it. It's not a theory, it's a fact.
That being said, the devil was working with...
Someone.
Yes.
Fits into the second... Fits into the first theory. Second theory...
It nestles nicely into the theory, kind of like Pawpaw into Moonshine's breast.
He's squeaking in there.
All right.
I mean, like his body is squeaking against...
I was sloppy one time tonight, and you see she looks down. And I will not make mistakes again.
Look,
we are going to be thorough.
Zone of truth us all you want.
You see, she calls the knights over, and she goes, search them.
We willingly submit.
Well...
Hold on.
What do you have to hide?
We don't have anything to hide. We just haven't gotten the chance to get to the fact that we have the murder weapon, which led us to the Vinerals to
you
begin with.
You have the murder weapon?
Yes.
Why do you have the murder weapon?
Because
I was there when she was killed, Jaina.
I knew you had something to do with this. You lured her out onto the balcony for what?
Yeah, you know what? That's right. It's my fault. I take responsibility. I lured her out onto the balcony. I was with her when she was killed. I didn't protect her, but I didn't kill her. I just didn't stop the knife that did. So if you want to hear the story, if you want to hear how it all went down, then you just have to calm down and listen to us.
Search them! And you see these two other knights come over and start going through your guys' stuff.
I'm letting them know we're an ally, so search away.
Yep.
They grab your bag of holding, which we established on a text chain that you guys had, because otherwise Balinor would have it, and they would already have this stuff.
Shit, there's something else in there.
Uh-oh.
They take the bag of holding.
There's cursed mithril armor in there.
They pour it out onto the table, and there's just this hushed silence as Jaina just looks at it in total disbelief. There's the cursed mithril armor that ruined her family name, a cursed book of the nine hells. One of the guards reaches into your pocket, Bev, and finds the coin of Akarat. They might not know what the symbol is exactly, but it looks a hell of a lot like the sign of Asmodeus. And they're also, you know, able to find...
Bunch of fucking teeth.
They find teeth. They find a note about Gerard Coldain and Gemma Bronzebeard, like someone following them. And she just looks at all of this and she goes, you have the, you're obsessed with my family. You have the cursed mithril armor that doomed my great-great-grandfather.
Jaina, I've had a weird summer, okay?
It's like you've never seen a wedding gift before. God.
None of this was going to be gifts. We're just sort of, we're like kid detectives who are grown up. We're like Veronica Mars.
Why?
We're going around sort of just collecting evidence and trying to figure out what has got Bahumia turned all sorts of wrong. We are willing to separately, all three of us, walk you through how we found each, how we came upon each of these artifacts. And you'll discover by separating us that we all have the same story and there will be consistency there. And you will understand that we are not weaving tales.
Go ahead and give me a persuasion check.
Oh, okay. Well, there goes that idea. 10.
Cool. Shout out to the 10 den.
Oh, good name for the room.
Shout out to the tent.
Nice.
She goes, I let my guard down once tonight, and I won't do it again. And she grabs her hammer, and she goes, arrest them! Everyone roll initiative.
Okay. 12.
22.
7.
Hard one. You know Jaina as someone who usually plays by the rules. Unlike Gemma, she was never really rebellious and was definitely her father's favorite. But she was always willing to give people the benefit of the doubt. She always gave you the benefit of the doubt. But here, she is a woman possessed. She's looking at the evidence after what happened tonight. She's trusting her eyes instead of her heart. And she goes to grab her hammer and take a swing at you. You see the two knights at the stairwell start charging at Moonshine and Beverly, and the priest by the bar runs to join Jaina. Hard one, you are first.
I'm gonna tackle Jaina.
Okay. go ahead and make an athletics check.
All right, I just want to grapple her.
Okay.
16.
She got a 22. Oh, you go to, she's like ripped. She is an athlete. You go to tackle her. She gets real low and she kind of grabs you in like a wrestler stance. She goes, "What are you doing? Fight me!
No.
This is for your life!
I won't fight you!"
She swings her hammer down on you. "This is your fault!
You just need a hug!"
She misses, swinging emotionally. She tries to steal her resolve and she hits on the second hit. Jesus. 23 damage.
Ow.
Ooh. She's good. And a third swing with the hammer just lets out this mighty dwarven roar.
I deserve it.
And rolls a 1. She like slips as you guys are kind of wrestling back and forth and she's trying to swing her hammer at you.
Hard on, what's the deal? Are we fighting? Are we not fighting?
That's Bev's turn.
Okay. I asked that question.
If they're fighting you, you gotta fight them. Just don't kill them.
Okay.
I'll yell that. Don't kill them!
I'm going to do some shield bashes and also going to use Channel Divinity to call Little Nature's Wrath and try and capture someone. The way this works, again, is I use spectral vines to spring up and ensnare a creature within 10 feet.
Okay, sweet.
Probably.
Yeah, so these knights are kind of coming at you guys.
I'll go for one of the knights. They probably have a worse stats.
So they roll...
strength or dex?
They'll roll strength.
Why not dex?
He fails.
Okay, cool.
So you, as these knights go, "My lady, we will defend you!" They start running. Beverly shoots vines that explode from hard shine, then detach and connect to one of the knights, trapping him in a web of green. The other guy keeps charging, though.
I try and trip the other guy.
Okay. he does not trip. That is the priest's turn. He's going to run up and take a swing with his hammer at Hard One. He only gets one swing and he misses.
Oh, wait, shit. As a bonus action, could I have used my spectral mage hand to try and trip him?
Maybe. Try next time. Okay. that is Moonshine's turn.
All right. First off, I'm going to use my action to revert into my fungal form again.
Let's get fungal.
Because that short rest imbued me not with rage, but with fungus. And then, as my bonus action, I'm going to cast, similar to Beverly, a fourth level grasping vine.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I say, I hope we got a bunch of gold in that bag of holding because I'm about to cause some property damage. And a vine sprouts from the earth and it, and I'll read it to you. You conjure a vine that sprouts from the ground in an unoccupied space of your choice that you can see within range. When you cast this spell, you can direct the vine to lash out at a creature within 30 feet of it you can see. That creature must succeed on a dexterity saving throw or be pulled 20 feet directly toward the vine. Until the spell ends, you can direct the vine to lash out at the same creature or another creature as a bonus action on each of your turns.
Shit.
And it lasts for a minute.
Do it for the vine,
bro!
It does require
concentration.
Okay.
So I call forth this vine, and I say to Jaina,
My name is Jaina, god damn it.
I'm sorry, at the crick you would be called Jaina.
Eat vines, Jaina.
Yes.
My sister was killed tonight.
I know, and I want you to know that I'm...
And you killed
her. I am doing this. I did not kill her, and I want you to know that I'm using a fourth level spell. Do you know the kind of damage I could do with a fourth level spell? And I'm not doing that. Instead, I am merely restraining you so that we can have some more time to talk. And then I lash out at her with a grasping vine.
Oh,
it does not hurt her.
Okay.
But it will hopefully restrain her and get her off of Hardwon.
She...
What's her dexterity?
She gets a 15.
Fuck, that's 15.
She bursts from the vines.
She's sad.
Well, she's sad and strong.
I'm so sad it's strong.
Well, actually, dexterous, not strong, but okay.
She dodges the vine. I'm dexterous and sad.
Sextrous.
That is the knight's turn. The one guy, I guess, will charge forward and will swing his hammer at...
I'm a fungus queen, by the way.
You're a fungus queen. They'll swing their hammer at the fungus queen. He misses on his first
when
attack.
When he misses on that first attack, I react with my spores. I mean, with my regular spores at him. Okay. So I spores him for 12.
So as this dude runs up to swing on you, you shoot poison spores at him, and he goes, "Ah, ah, foul monster! You killed our princess."
See, Gina, I don't really care about this schmuck. I'm looking out for you, though.
That is my cousin. I love him.
Okay, well, I'm not sporesing to kill, if you know what I'm saying.
He swings once and misses. He's going to swing one more time, and he misses again.
Yeah!
You guys have good AC. hard one. That's back up.
In my back pocket tonight.
That's back up to you.
I can't swing on these. They're my people. I give Jaina my axe that I guess was on the table.
Jesus.
Do you toss it at her?
Kill me if you think I would have done that to your sister. If you can kill me... Then this whole entire thing is pointless.
But remember, don't kill him just because you're angry. Only kill him if you really think he did it.
It is Jaina's turn next.
It's really incriminating, Harvey.
On Jaina's turn, she takes your axe from you and drops her hammer. And she kind of looks shocked for a second, but quickly hardens her expression. If you choose to die by your weapon, then so be it. Jaina kicks the back of your knees so you collapse to all fours. She raises the axe over her head and lets out a mighty dwarven roar. Hard one, go ahead and give me a persuasion check with advantage. And roll well.
Hey, Hard one, what the fuck, dude?
I'll trust you. I'll follow you, Hard one. Persuasion.
16.
Oh, to be a goddamn bard right now and be able to wink at you. Give you some bardic inspiration.
Seriously. To be a true bard.
I'm going to roll insight on her.
With some kind of advantage, because she should be able to be smart enough to know.
Hard one, Surefoot. You've got your head down. The hair from your braid has come loose and it just hangs in your face. Beverly and Moonshine, from across the room, you hear Jaina let out this horrible battle cry and she swings the axe down. And at the last second, she jerks it and bangs it into the floor of the tavern.
You missed, dumbass.
Fuck you. And she goes,
I love you.
you see, Jaina looks rattled. She's kind of catching her breath and her eyes are wide. But then she shakes out of it and she turns to her men and she yells, stop! The men look confused, but they lower their weapons, kind of keeping a side eye on you while they turn to her to listen to her command.
I release the vines.
I used a fourth level spell on this, so I'm going to keep that vine around for a little bit. Can I have it go to the tap and start pouring drinks for us?
Yeah. That vine's going to make this a popular bar from now on.
Is this like an Audrey 2?
Yeah.
So the vine makes everyone some drinks.
Does the vine know how to mix a drink? Some, like, egg white cocktails?
Go ahead and roll an arcana check.
Ooh, I love it when you make me roll. That's going to be a 3.
it just starts cracking eggs all over the place.
Oh,
it
boy.
Gives Jaina just
learning.
A raw egg
No
cup.
One intervene. Let him learn.
This is honestly insanely impressive, just that you have this command of the vine. Just this amount is very impressive.
The vine's father was a grapevine, so, you know.
Very good. I would laugh if my
the grapest vine of all time.
You see, she waves off the knights. I don't think they did it. My lady, they have the murder weapon. And they sent me a messenger to share information. And you see, she's kind of putting the pieces together. I mean,
What other choice did they have? Go to the Iron Dwarves? I don't know why they came here. And you see she kind of gives Hardwon the side eye. And but then she looks back at her men and she goes, but I don't think they're murderers. You can go upstairs. I can take care of myself. I don't know why the fuck he has all of this shit, but they didn't do it.
I had a weird summer, I already told you.
He had a weird summer. and you see those guys.
Hey, what happens at the jamboree stays at the jamboree.
For real, we've been on a jamboree for a while now.
You see the other guys exchange looks, then grumble and head upstairs. And she just throws her hammer against the wall. And she's holding back tears. And she goes, just tell me the truth. I trust you, Hardwon. Maybe that's stupid, but I think Gemma would have wanted me to. I loved her, and I failed her. I failed her as a knight of Irondeep, and more importantly, I failed her as my sister.
I failed her too.
And I think that's, I wanted to take it out on you.
Trust me, I'm taking that on myself too.
Now, why do you have the fucking armor that cursed my family? And what is this book? And what is this coin? And what is that around your neck?
I have the vine pass me a beer.
Just over the foamiest pour you've ever had.
I think he's so, getting better, huh?
A lot of head on this, Jaina. You take that. So we've poured each of us a beer. I take off the gem. And I say, meet Ulfgar Truax.
Why is Ulfgar in a gem?
We stole him from a guy that was trying to sell him to the devil, I think.
Yep. And
the devil's son,
yeah,
wants Ulfgar. Although what he wants to do with him, we're a little unclear.
We don't know why he wants Ulfgar, but... The reason, the price for Ulfgar was Gemma's life.
As well as the Pale Princess.
So, Gerard Coldain is dead.
Oh, yeah. He's kind of a wiener, so I can't really imagine.
Gerard Coldain is one of the greatest dwarven warriors.
I shake my head at
Mitch. I heard he's pretty weak.
From a reliable source.
Yeah. Ooh,
where would you... It is well known amongst the dwarves that...
I don't know what goes for...
I strive
strong.
To be as good of a warrior as Gerard Coldain.
I don't know what goes for warrior around Frostwind, yeah. But, I mean, they got dwarfins who are picking pockets.
We're getting
here.
Too far into the weeds. He's a wiener. That's not really up for discussion.
Are you talking about his brother?
Who's his brother?
He has his younger brother, Cyril.
Oh, yeah. He's the paler prince.
He's kind of a wiener. Yes. The paler prince is kind of a wiener. He just sits around reading graphic scrolls all day.
Yeah, he's kind of... Well,
I didn't
both
know
chokes.
Anything about this paler prince.
It's a notable...
Doesn't that sound like someone that you wouldn't trust? A younger brother looking up to his big, tough warrior brother, always wishing to be more like him and yet stuck behind the scrolls, physically limited?
There's nothing wrong with graphic scrolls. It's a noble pursuit.
So, but, I mean, I don't know him. What do you think, Jaina?
I don't know him very well at all. But my father wants me to get to know him because...
Oh, say no more. I gotcha.
Yeah.
Pains of royalty.
We've already talked about it. My sister's body is still warm, and we've already talked about that I may need to step up, as it were.
You're no princess.
I'm a knight of Irondeep. Exactly.
I'll be honest.
No lady to be married off.
I'll be honest. I've had a lot of proposals in my day, and I prefer to, travel alone or, with multiple companions, not just one.
Didn't you initiate some of your proposals?
No.
All right.
They all get initiated on me, I believe, although sometimes I use them as bargaining chips. But let's not burden Jaina with the details.
We're into the weeds again. All right, yeah.
My name is Jaina. My name is...
I'm so sorry. It's a crick thing.
I hate to interrupt, but did y'all try the leaves on this vine? They are spearmint, and they are delicious.
Grasping vine. Do y'all come with your own...
Okay. You said you know that the Pale Prince is dead?
That's the information we're working with.
Yeah.
That is what the Son of the Devil, we just had an awful encounter with the Son of the Devil, and he informed us that the Pale Prince was successfully killed. However, we do not know whether or not to trust him. It was our first time meeting him, and I can't get a read on if he's full of shit or not.
Tell you what, Jaina, let's start at the beginning. So I walk into the Hungry Trout.
Okay. So you go ahead and you tell her the whole story of the campaign. Okay, so that's how you got the cursed armor. Okay, so that's how you got the cursed book. Understood. She looks in.
Would you pay 5 gold to learn a little more about the campaign?
She joins the Patreon. She downloads a short rest. It's really actually super entertaining.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content all in one place and all on your terms, folks. They've got beautiful templates and easy drag and drop tools. You can make a portfolio, you can make a blog, you can make a web series over there. You can do anything you want, and you can do it all on Squarespace. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first order of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here. I'm recording this ad literally hours before going to the airport on a trip to visit some family in New York. And if you're wondering, no, I have not packed my bags yet. Packing stresses me the hell out because I have to do wardrobe math about how many shirts and pants and underwear to bring. And let me tell you, folks, I always get it wrong and I always pack too much. That being said, there is one thing that always goes into my suitcase without a second thought, and that is my Raycon Everyday Earbuds. Raycon offers amazing audio quality at half the price of other premium audio brands. And Raycon's optimized gel tips are designed to fit comfortably in your ears and actually stay there, which is good because it means I can go on a jog and not worry about them falling out and getting sucked into a sewer grate. Although I guess that's probably how the Ninja Turtles get their earbuds, so if some mutant creature living in the sewer happens to get them, I guess that wouldn't be too bad. But thanks to Raycon, it's not something I ever even need to concern myself with. So if you're also going on a trip soon and are looking to bring along the perfect pair of earbuds, go to buyraycon.com/pawpaw today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That is right, you're going to get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's buyraycon.com/pawpaw. All right, thanks for listening and have a great trip. Bye-bye.
So yeah, you guys go through, you explain the whole situation with Akarot and Joris and all of the things that you've observed in the city, and suddenly your big bag of incriminating evidence now provides proof that you're not lying. She sees the notes that Joris kept while tracking Gemma and such.
Jaina, I just want to say something real quick. I know that you just lost your sister and you are processing a lot of stuff, but I want you to know that at some point, this isn't going to mean anything to you right now, but maybe down the line it will. Just know that she's not gone forever. She's just returned to the cycle.
Do you know a way to bring her back?
You can
find somebody with a resurrection spell.
I can cast a spell on her that would sustain her for 10 days until we could find someone who could resurrect her. I don't know. I cannot speak to that spell and if it is a satisfying thing. In fact, I would hesitate to use it, although this is an unnatural death, so.
You see, she grabs at the Book of the Nine Hells that you guys have on the table, and she pulls it towards her, and she goes, "Your blood, your name, my power. What does this mean?"
No.
Nothing.
No. You don't need to put your blood in a devil's book. We can take you to Meemaw.
Jaina, we already explained this whole thing. Remember Maribel and the Crick and Old Cobb, the Vicious V?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
This isn't who you are.
But if Maribel wanted to, she could have brought somebody back, I bet.
Okay, Jaina, you're jumping towards the devil when, honestly, if you really want... I can cast Gentle Repose on, if you have her body intact, I can cast, even if you have a piece of her body, I can cast Gentle Repose on her. We'll bring what remains of her to Meemaw. If that's what you need, there's no reason to make a bargain with the devil.
There are better ways to do this.
The only way we can avenge her is if we band together and fight.
Speaking of which, what is this devil coin?
Oh, did I not tell you about that?
No, Beth.
Yeah, the devil's son gave that to me.
What does it mean? Were you selling Snickers bars or something?
It feels like something you could have mentioned on the walk over here.
Yeah,
I think we're telling
resting. I was tweaking.
Keeping a lot of information from each other.
I tell you guys everything.
You know what? Can I just, like, in the spirit of it, I want to pray to Pelor. I don't have any spell slots up, but I want to cast Zone of Truth so we can get everything out in the open, have a real sweat lodge moment here.
Can I try to save and pretend like it was cast on me?
It's like a religion check, maybe?
Yeah, go ahead and do a religion check.
It's going to be 15?
Okay.
Okay, if we're doing it, then y'all... I don't know if Maribel was my mom or if Meemaw's my mom.
The devil tried to offer me a coin, and I accepted it, and I don't know what to do because it's a lot of power, and I could have really cool wings like Theala, and I don't know. I just worry a lot of times that I won't be strong enough to save you or Erlen or my mom or my dad. They're gonna be lost forever, okay?
Gerard Coldain's the fucking man. All right. He's the fucking man. He's buff as hell. His beard's thick as shit. He's a better warrior than I'll ever be. Fuck.
Akarat's super cut, okay? He's super cut.
I mean, what if my real ma's dead? What does it mean if Maribel was my mom instead of Meemaw?
Join the dead mom's club.
Is it possible that the devil is my dad?
Shit.
Anyway, Jaina, how you doing over there?
Jaina goes, my name is Jaina, first off. Secondly, you've shared quite a bit with me, so I can tell you what I know. I actually, if the Pale Prince is dead, then that, I think my father might be in danger.
Oh.
After Gemma was murdered, the king finally opened up to us. He'd been dodgy about the Pale Prince's whereabouts for days, but now he really fears for his son's life. Coldain told us that the prince has the king's hammer and that he, along with the rest of his hunting party, went missing near Mount Forge. My father quickly volunteered himself and a bunch of his best men, and they went off with the leader of the Winter Wolves and some of her rangers to try to track him down.
Akarat told us that the giants may have gotten their hands on the hammer and seek to, I believe it was, bring chaos into the world by throwing it into that purple chasm.
Yeah, they want to thwack the gash.
I know, there's a lot going on here. I'm so sorry. But yes, just if you remember one thing, remember thwack the gash.
And forget everything I said about Gerard Coldain being the man.
And Maribel possibly being my mom.
Yeah.
Not that you know any of them.
But. I'm a virgin too. I feel like just while we're talking it out.
Same.
What?
Sorry. Son of Truth still on me, I guess.
You'd lose that shit quick at the crick.
Based on this entire compelling campaign story that you just told me. There was some kind of setup by this Akarat character involving the giants, then my father and the Winter Wolves could be walking into a trap.
Who would want them dead?
I got a question. Two thoughts.
I don't know why.
I know that Theala doesn't want y'all consorting with each other. Is there any possibility that Theala and her legion could be working against a conspiracy of y'all making each other stronger?
Would Theala work with the forces of hell?
Perhaps in a secret way.
These are strange times.
They really are. But I got another question for you. we've got this cursed armor. Do you see that playing into anything in any way? Or do you want us to just keep it away from you?
This armor belongs to my family, and I would like to take it.
Okay. I mean, we don't have rapport spores, so I'll just powwow out loud.
Sure.
That's fine with me. I'm all about returning relics to whence they came.
Yeah, it's greasy with Bev.
You can have it. I just want you to exercise a little bit of caution here. This armor, in the wrong hands, is very dangerous.
That is a good point, perhaps.
You're proposing taking it into the belly of the beast. Mm. This can be your armor, but I think we should find a safe place for it.
Yeah, you're ready to...
I think a safe time, too. I think that there's probably a grieving window in which you don't get to play with cursed armor. That's what I personally...
I'm not going to show it to my father. It's a last resort, but I would like to have it. I'm going to have to insist.
All right. Okay. After everything we just went through.
Yeah, you've trusted us on a lot of stuff. Do we give it to her?
I don't think so. I think we should wait. I mean, I want to return it to them, but she's very erratic right now.
She was trying to Hancock that book just a second ago.
Yeah.
That's true. Jaina, you're a little too close to making deals with the devil.
Yeah.
For us to trust you with the cursed armor.
Here, have a hit of Chino.
Let the vine get it.
When do you guys give me a persuasion? Vinyl. Somebody give me a persuasion check with advantage. Just one person.
Oh, that's a one, but...
You have to reroll those.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I got a 9, but my persuasion is 7. Is that right?
Okay.
Yeah.
16?
Yeah.
She nods, and she goes, maybe it's not the best time for me to have access to cursed armor or cursed books. Can you put this back in the bag?
Yeah.
Tell you what. Yeah, but we'll give you a little luggage tag for the armor.
How about I owe you? Yeah.
That's as good as the armor.
Jane, I have one more question for you. This pendant that Ulfgar's trapped in, there's more than one of them. Do you know who could possibly make something this powerful? Because that is the person we need to find, because they're the one that was making deals. Or they, at least, are the person that has the connections to the person that was making the deals with the devil's son.
Let me go ahead and do a little insight check for Jaina. Ooh, okay. You see she examines the gem, and she does kind of a double take. And she goes, I've only seen a prison gem one time. It was in my father's workshop. He was trying to make one. He thinks that all dwarves should know how to swing a hammer and how to command the earth. He said it would be a powerful weapon for defending Iron Deep.
Any other times? Sure.
Just
that once.
Forging one.
I mean, that's real cool. Your dad's very talented, but
he doesn't. But there's other people who can make these.
Sure, plenty of people. I put it back around my neck.
There's one thing I've learned from watching the CW show Riverdale. It's that you always gotta suspect the father.
I top off for beer.
Slap your hand away does the so vine the grasping do it or do vine can.
It's the vine.
Foam pours everywhere. She's just looking forward.
The grasping vine has a pitcher of just pure foam.
Drops it on the way over.
It was...
It could have been someone else. It could have been another geomancer.
It was a long time ago.
Do you feel like prancing into the night trying to meet up with your dad? We could also rest for the night. I'm assuming y'all fucked up Balnor.
We didn't fuck up Balnor.
Oh, thank God.
Didn't fuck up Balnor.
He approached me and he said, I have a room for us. And I popped him one time in the eye because I thought he was a pervert.
That little horn dog. He is a pervert.
He did have a very good
understandable.
Night.
But then he explained himself and we just took him up to the room. He's up there with two more guards.
Okay. Let's sleep on this, all right? Because I'm sure there's plenty of explanations.
Yeah.
Is that wise? I need to get back to the Cold Iron Keep. And do you... The Venerals are being questioned right now. Do you, based on all of the things you've told me, all of the extremely compelling stories in the underground, you think the Venerals may have had something to do with this?
I do not know that they had anything to do with it, but I do not think that they are allies. They may not be the enemy, but they may also not be allies.
Yeah, their toes are covered in the stink. Maybe not all the way in the bath, but they got stinky toes for sure.
Stinky toes.
That's a halfling expression.
Right. I guess what I'm saying is,
a crick expression too.
I think there are a couple venerals that might be being tortured right now.
That's yeah.
Should I try to stop that?
Yeah, call that off, though. Call that off.
It was Akarat that killed Gemma. We just need to find out who ordered the hit.
But we believe that whoever ordered the hit may be more surprising than the venerals.
She nods.
But remember, your sister's just returning to the cycle of life and death. And, you know, maybe she'll come back a flower.
Also, maybe your dad didn't do it, which would be crazy.
Why? It doesn't even make sense. Why would my...
It doesn't.
It doesn't make any sense.
Totes.
You see, she looks at the armor for a long time. Are you sure I can't take the armor tonight?
Yeah. I think given everything we've established here.
Right. It's just a grieving thing. It's not anything about... It's going to be yours, but you are grieving right now, and that's when temptations...
You see she jumps for the armor.
The grasping vine grabs her.
I'm cool.
Classic Bilbo in the Fellowship.
Yeah. I'm cool.
Let's get you to bed.
All right. I need to go back to the Cold Iron Keep. We had to sneak here separately and everything. The Iron Dwarves do have your ship. They are after you. So
they got our ship, huh?
That much is certain, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it goes with the territory. I
would grab 6 hours of sleep at the most.
Yeah, I could definitely fuck with 6 hours of sleep.
You do not want to be seen on the street.
All right.
They are looking for you. And
do you think we're safe here?
Wait, hang on. Did you tell me everything that happened out on that balcony? You just kind of said that you guys went to the party, that you were a dog, what happened? Why were you out on the balcony?
Hopefully he was also a dog on the balcony. Oh!
Okay, that's my dead sister. Right. You piece of shit.
Sorry. You know what? I'm sorry.
Harbin, did you not tell her that you smooched her real hard?
It was nothing. We just needed closure. And
Jesus.
You Frenched it big time. You were telling us.
You keep saying that you guys were basically official again.
A very tasteful kiss goodbye. You too.
Okay.
Zone
Hard
of
one.
Truth, baby.
If the Iron Dwarves catch you and the Iron Inquisitors question you, they will find that out and you will die even if you are innocent of this crime.
Cool.
So, for sure, don't get caught. I'm going to go to the Cold Iron Keep and pretend that I was in my room the whole time.
Should we go with you?
No.
Okay.
You should not go anywhere near the castle.
You want a rendezvous in the morning? Get some eggy sandies?
I could
some really Benedicts,
have a breakfast burrito or something. How do we make sure that
Huevos
you're
rancheros.
Safe?
We don't,
this is a really dangerous time.
I've got my men here. Everyone's on high alert. It was my job to protect Gemma, and I failed.
It's your new job to avenge Gemma. Don't get yourself killed.
Beautiful.
All right. Well, be safe, you all.
I give her a dwarven handshake.
Yeah. You as well.
She gives you guys a handshake. She looks at that armor.
We'll keep it safe for you.
We got a guy with a really good bag.
I have like a little baggie of like freeze-dried crawdaddies, like astronaut food style. And I'm like, hey, these always make me feel a little better. In these times, you just got to take the little pleasures.
She goes, I am a knight of Iron Deep. She gives you this whole talk while she slowly puts it in her pocket. I am Jaina Bronzebeard, Avenger of Gemma Bronzebeard,
yeah,
Kingsguard of King Grimthor Meganis. Mm-hmm. I do not dabble, thank you.
It's like the vines are just pushing
her
out the door.
Absolutely.
Best part's the brown.
Loud
Jaina.
And clear.
She calls down her knights. You see the priest guy comes down.
Two of the other knight guys come down, and then two more of them come down. You hear Balnor go, "Oh, Pete, Ed, don't leave, guys. Come on."
Oh, I definitely thought he might be down.
You see Balnor pokes around the corner. He's still got, like, "Guys, we didn't finish the hand." He was playing poker with them.
Oh, he's definitely losing. He definitely...
Guys, I lost all our money.
Yeah, thank God we took the bag of all of our shit. Move over. We're going to sleep.
He's definitely got, like, a pair and thinks it's really good. He's like, "I've got a high pair."
Oh, no. That's a deck of many things, Balnor. What are you doing?
Oh, geez, I'm back in the deck. Something in the deck. And it burns and he dies. So you see Jaina and the knights of her house leave. They take off. And you guys are left in this inn by yourselves. You guys have run of the place. Kind of cool.
Nice.
Balnor goes, "Kind of cool, right?
Yo, hungry?"
Can we just fudge the rules and say that my up to a minute grasping vine is just still around and cooking for us like a bad robot?
I feel like my my divine channeling is allowing it to exist longer.
Cool. Yeah, the vine is making you guys terrible snacks. Just nachos with many broken chips.
It's ants on an actual log.
And Balnor goes, at first those guys were really scary. They came in, and I said to Jaina, "Hey, I've got a room for us." She popped me in the face.
Of course.
Yeah, we heard.
Wow, yeah. That's really purple.
And then I said, "Hey, no, I'm a friend."
You bruise easy.
Yeah, it's yellow already. Look at it. Then she dragged me up the stairs, and then some more knights came, and they said, "We're not going to hurt you, but you got to sit in this chair." And, I got to talking with the other two guard guys that were up there with me. Good, solid fellows.
Salt of the earth, huh?
Nice. Salt of the earth.
Yeah. Anything interesting?
They were excited about the wedding. They're bummed about their family member being killed.
Sure. Understandably so.
Natch.
Yeah, they good at poker. Fleeced me.
Yeah.
I did.
You might be bad at poker.
I keep some of our money. Yeah, you know.
How much money did we lose?
100 platinum. Okay. Just kidding. No, I'd actually brought with me in a secret pouch 10,000 gold, kind of from the void, and I lost all of it.
Okay. By gold, do you mean silver dollars from...
from Fort Knox, of course.
From the Ottoman Empire. Hey,
gazes off into the distance.
Are you from Austria, Balnor?
Be honest. When I say Prussian, what does it mean to y'all?
So, what happened? What?
Well, we met the devil's son.
Cool. Yeah, you guys give Balnor the whole...
Is Balnor in the zone of truth now?
Yeah.
Where are you from?
Guys, I wasn't lying to you. I straight up don't know what's going on.
Okay.
I gotta be honest. I eat tuna sandwiches at night. I go into the freaking bag. I know I'm supposed to guard the bags, but I go into the freaking bags, and I'll open the chips, and I'll put glue, and I'll seal them back up and pretend that there's just not a lot of chips in the bag.
Part
That's
of
so
what
much
makes
work.
You binge is the shame of binge eating. Just tell us you're doing the eating and stop sealing up the bag.
I didn't know we had chips.
I, for one, can hear him chewing throughout the night.
That's also true. It's been very obvious. Oh. You wake up with so much tuna on your hands.
You gained 15 pounds since we started our journey, and we're walking a lot, Balnor.
It's just, usually my wife makes me watch my diet. Looks off into the distance. What diet?
I think he has mercury poisoning from all the tuna.
Also fair. None of this may be factual at all.
It's just a tuna-loving man's dying dream.
All right, y'all. So are we going to... First off, just going to throw it out there. I would love to fucking snuggle up with young Papa and get my six.
Yeah.
But tomorrow, are we going to traverse the wall? Are we going to... Should I be stalking Spider Climb?
Yeah, we got to go over the wall tomorrow.
Seems like the way.
We have to get to Gerard and that hammer before... whoever ordered the hit does.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's our next mission. Get that hammer.
We got to get that hammer and probably keep this armor away from Jaina for the time being.
Yeah. Yeah. She's self-destructive right now.
Understandable.
Understandably.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I checked out the bed. It's just a regular-sized bed.
One regular bed. Randy's doing Popeye's chant.
Yeah, I was doing Popeye and Velma. You guys get up, and you guys hop up, and you guys huddle into bed together.
Oh, Balnar, here, before you go to sleep, Vinard? That's the name of the vines, by the
Ooh,
way.
Can Vinard.
Could you grows get... up through the
Oh,
hallway.
can he brush all of our teeth?
That's exactly what
Go ahead and roll an arcana check to see how well he brushes your teeth.
Ooh, 17, baby!
Oh, that means he's flossing, baby.
He does a pretty good job.
Dang!
Balnor does
he's
not...
He's fucking, like, quip level getting in there. Thank
nice
you.
Nice plug.
20,000 dentists you. Approve of the vine.
You see, Balnor goes, huh, I'm not going to want to have a midnight snack after this. Jeez, I feel minty.
I check his breath.
It smells minty.
Yowza!
Minty tuna.
All right, I slip into my train. Well, first off, I say, Papa, how was your night? Are you mad that I left you here? Or were you happy to be able to guard Balnor and make sure he was okay?
Yeah, actually, Papa did some lawyering. At first, they tied me up, but he put the shoulder pads on.
Did he have to break out the shoulder pads?
He really went to bat for me.
I give him. I know how heavy those shoulder pads are, so I give him a little paw massage.
Rare.
Hey,
the weight of the world is on those shoulder pads.
I'm sorry I didn't tell you about the coin.
It's okay. I'm sorry I didn't tell you about Maribel maybe being my mom. I don't think I did. Or did I?
You mentioned it in passing, and I meant to follow up, but, you know, again...
No, that's fine.
It's been a big summer.
Yeah, it's been a crazy summer.
Yeah, and the thing about me being a virgin was, like, I've never made love. I've definitely fucked, but I've never loved.
Oh, cool.
That's what I meant by that. All right.
I can absolutely understand that. Honestly, I'm probably a virgin then, too.
Sick. I dap you up.
Yeah. I definitely understand the distinction, but you can explain it to me further tomorrow. You know, I think that falls under the purview of your scoutmaster duties.
Emphasis on perv.
I roll over and don't fall asleep.
Good night. I dream of hell.
So you guys all go to bed. You all dream of hell.
I go into a slack-jawed trance.
Moonshine goes is just drooling while trancing.
Do we like drift? Do we like kind of like graze off of her trance when we're near her?
Sure.
Yeah, I like to think that my trance has an aura, like Bev's stinky aura.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And Bev, when you go to bed,
it has a palliative aura.
You do dream of hell. You're suddenly in the middle of this lake of fire.
I'm never saying a joke to you ever again.
With Akarat, you guys are on like pool tubes. Like in the middle of a lake of fire.
A lazy river?
Yeah, it's a lazy river in hell. And he goes, this is what it could be like. You have a lot of dads, but you don't have an older brother. How freaking cool would it be to have a sibling?
Would you let me take the first controller when we play rune games?
I am the first controller.
Ah! I don't know, no
you
deal, man.
You shouldn't have showed them the coin. You shouldn't have showed them the coin, boy.
I didn't have a choice. They're my friends. If I can't share that with them, then... what's the point of having friends at all? Maybe that's something you wouldn't understand. I don't think you have any friends.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Moonshine's in the dream now.
And then I...
Moonshine trancing into the dream. Get her out of here. He starts to, like, wobble on his tube flips.
I use dream magic to turn my tube into a jet ski.
Oh, shit, you jet ski off.
You don't have any friends, dude.
You jet ski off. The wave that your wave runner makes knocks his tube over, and he looks like a freaking dingus.
I thought about it, man.
His ass pops out from under his bathing suit.
Revealing his tiny nub tail. I thought about that power, man, but there's better power. There's stronger power than you'll ever know.
You don't know, dude. As you take off.
As I'm like doing donuts on my jet ski, I say, you'll never know true friendship until you sleep in a big bed with your friends. That's the true power. And I wake up super erect.
I wake up to a letter from the Green Teens disbarring me from ever being a scoutmaster.
Yeah, Balnor wakes up. Okay, not one big bed. I'm gonna go sleep in the chair. It's 4 a.m. He like walks over and falls asleep in a rocking chair.
Classic dad. Only a dad can sleep in a chair.
Wow, that's very impressive.
He falls asleep instantly.
That's how I know all my spell slots have recharged.
You guys sleep through the night.
Okay. I trance.
You trance. You trance through the night. You guys went to bed pretty late. So Hardwon and Beverly need to sleep for like 6 hours, so they can't get up until like 9 a.m.-ish. Mm-hmm. But Moonshine, you only need to trance for like 4 hours. So yeah. At around 7 a.m., Moonshine, you hear a knock at the door downstairs, like a loud banging.
All right, I'm going to do the whole thing where you open it, but still locked.
Mm. Okay. Moonshine goes downstairs.
Out.
You open the door, you peek out.
Say, is this delivery? Someone order Postmates?
You see, it is Jaina Bronzebeard, looking like she has not slept. She usually has like rosy cheeks, but she looks like pale, and her eyes are like kind of sunken in. And she goes, let me in, I need to talk to you. I don't want the Iron Doors to see me.
Can I do an inside check to see
sure.
if she's like off her rocker? Or
yeah.
14?
14. Okay. She definitely seems distressed, but she's like,
she's not.
I want to talk to you about your Meemaw.
Oh, yeah. Come on in.
Okay. Jaina walks in and she goes.
If that was a tactic, it was a good one because it definitely disbarred my defenses.
You open the door and Jaina goes in and she goes, you said your Meemaw could help Gemma.
I believe she could. She what knows a powerful spell called Reincarnate. However, I do believe it may be a spell that is less satisfying than it sounds. I believe it may bring her back in a different form.
I just want my sister back. Where is your Meemaw?
She's currently in Gladeholm.
Okay.
I will send a message to her. I will send an animal to her. Telling her that y'all have my blessing. But I do want you to know, I do want you to talk to her. She's a very wise person, and she will help you decide if this is the right decision. I will give you everything you need, and I'm going to trust that you're going to take the decision seriously.
I lost everything last night.
I understand.
And I need to bring her back. And I asked around. I went to the church the first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. There are no priests or clerics in this town that can help. I don't want to have to turn to the Nine Hells. I don't want to have to turn to some...
I don't want you to turn to the Nine Hells, which is why I want to give you every tool you need. However, you need to ask yourself, will you still love her if she is like a hairy gnoll?
I don't care.
Okay. Do you think that she would be happy to be brought back as a hairy gnoll?
We can ask her when she comes back.
Okay. Okay. Then you bring me her body. I will cast Gentle Repose on it. That will give you 10 days to get to Gladeholm.
How much of her body does she need? It would be very hard for me to steal the whole body, but I did visit her. I got this. You see, she pulls out just like a handful of hair.
Huh.
You know, that's going to be enough.
I need to get there quickly. By ship, it's going to take me a long time.
You need the airship?
I'm going to need to borrow your ship. And that's where we'll end our session.
I'm kind of glad that you're ending it now, because now I can talk to Jake off mic and be like, is it cool if I lend out your airship?
that's my dad's ship. He'll kill me.
Nah, dude, he's dead. Whatever. I walk downstairs and I'm like, oh, Balnor's hogging the bathroom. Whoa, what's going on?
Still full boner.
Which you really shouldn't be sleeping next to me with.
Oh my goodness.
I face east, don't worry.
Good. Okay, guys. Can I cast Gentle Repose on a piece of human?
She's only been...
No, I would need a full... Oh, you must touch a corpse or other remains. So I could just touch those remains.
And what does that do?
It basically means that it protects it from decay or becoming undead for the next 10 days.
That's cool. Reincarnate works for 10 days anyway.
Okay.
How does reincarnate work? Is it like...
Guys, it brings you
this
back...
This is great fodder for the short rest.
We'll talk about it more on the short rest.
Save it for the short rest.
Head on over to patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet. That was good. I like that. Guys, we have things to plug. Watch Hot Date on Netflix. That's me and Emily's sketch show.
So sexy.
Buy our book, deep. Hey You Up, How to Turn Your Booty Call into Your Emergency Contact. It's on Amazon and on Audible.
Caldwell,
what do you got to plug?
Two things this week. I was on another podcast. I was a guest on
a
show.
What the fuck?
That's right. As a guest.
This is getting edited out.
I'm so sorry. No, I plugged our show. And they are also fans of our show.
Oh, great.
I was proselytizing. Nice. Let me correct myself. It's called Is This Adulting? It's a mental health podcast.
Oh, very cool.
That's way more noble than our show, actually.
It was. I'm a saint. And you should all respect me more.
You said that on their podcast, too.
I did. I scream about the respect that I need and crave at any opportunity I'm given. Also, we have two new items in our merch store.
Oh, God, they're so cool.
Yeah, we have a Moonstone Jamboree t-shirt designed by Tonathan Tinkle himself.
Oh, my God.
Can we get it as a bag?
The Moonstone shirt?
But the Moonstone design.
Yeah.
Do we have like that? Does Shopify do that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we can make that into a bag.
Fuck, I want it as a bag.
If you want it as a bag, let us know. We'll make it as a bag.
Tote.
Speaking of totes, we also have the Balnor number 2 dad tote.
Yeah.
Featuring some art of everyone's favorite dad. Right up on there.
We could totify everything, though.
We
have
could.
The art. I think it's just a little toggle thing.
Let's make that website.
We could totify it all.
You go to totify.com/Balnor. I think it's at NAD. All this stuff's at nadpod.com.
It's at shop.nadpod.com.
There you go.
Yeah. There's a link to the shop on the NADpod.
Yep. So. And we're going to have new merch coming pretty much every month for a while if all goes as planned.
Oh,
so,
we have so much cool shit, people.
Yeah. Watch the store.
Oh, heck yeah.
Don't be a Balnor. Watch the store.
Ooh.
I don't know why I was mean to Balnor. I apologize.
It rhymes.
We've got a bunch of stuff on Dropout, College Humor's streaming service. Emily and I are on Fantasy High, D&D Play Show.
Fig and Riz.
Caldwell's got Cartoon Hell with Nathan Yaffe, our very own Tonathan Tinkle. And then we've got Lonely and Horny.
Season 2 premiered today.
Well,
which is 2 days
on Monday.
Yeah,
with Jake this week.
Someone else.
Yeah.
And you posted a weird picture of you in a mirror on a motorcycle.
Yeah, we did like a photo shoot, and that was like one of. It's such a long story. There's no reason for me to be in that photo, but we're like, the light was too good. It was really funny, so we're like, all right, we're gonna take this dumb photo of
you
us on a
motorcycle. You look like a cologne ad. And a mirror does not, and it is incongruous.
It's very incongruous.
And guys, follow us on Twitter at chmurphy.
Oh, wait, I have two things to plug.
Oh, sorry.
What else things to plug?
Whoa.
This is rare.
Bump these up earlier.
Put this up right in the middle of the Jaina fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One, my lovely sister-in-law, it's her birthday. So I just want to say happy birthday because she is a huge fan of the show.
Happy
and my
birthday.
Wife does not listen to the show.
I hope that she gets all the scoopins.
I hope her sister doesn't get assassinated.
Wow.
Jesus Christ.
Two lovely wishes. One for getting lots of scoopins and the other one for not having someone you love die.
They're both things from the show.
That's my fucking wife you're talking about.
They're both things from the show.
And also, my sisters and I launched a straight up product. We are making a beard oil. So if you have a beard that you want to be as luscious as Hard Ones, you can get it at brothersisterco.com.
Cool. I have a question.
Yes.
So I have very curly, frizzy hair. Would beard grooming tincture work on my hair?
Yes, it would.
And I bet it would, right?
My sister actually told me like that people that don't grow beards use it in their pubic hair. It
takes
like tangly, natty hair, and it just makes it kind of luscious and rich, nice and smooth.
All right, I'm gonna have to get some and try
I also
it
put
out.
I put it on my face. It's great.
On my beard like head.
You should try it. I'll give you a bottle. Brothersisterco.com. That's it. Yeah. Bye.
Awesome. I can't grow a beard, but.
It might work.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, will it make me grow a beard?
Yeah, the best time to use it is before you grow a beard.
What?
Your skin absorbs it and it makes your follicles nice and. I don't know. My sister knows all this stuff. I should say that both of my sisters do this. Rachel and Sarah, shout out to them.
Isn't it like a holistic thing too? Or isn't it like a kind of like a hippie thing? Like it's like all natural and stuff?
Yeah. It's like love argan oil, coconut oil, and jojoba oil or something like that.
Jojoba.
Those are some good oils.
Jojoba?
I think so.
Wow. Damn. But yeah, I'll show
that's
you.
That's how I've heard it.
It's very holistic.
If it
Rachel,
can make
Sarah,
my
thank you guys.
Baby Irish
nothing.
Face grow a beard, Hard One automatically gets bumped to level 20. Wow. That's just magic.
This is a very generous plug for my beard oil. I appreciate you guys.
Cool. Thanks everybody for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at CHMurph is me, at Caldy is Caldwell, at EAxford is Emily, and at Jake Hurwitz is Jake. And tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
Now we can say,
we are the youth of the nation. We are the youth of the nation.
It's the end of the show, everybody, and that means we need to shout out our benevolent Council of Elders. It's just me this week, your dungeon daddy, Brian Murphy, and I am bringing that DJ energy, starting with Matthew M., the Bullywug Prince. Fun fact, Matthew is actually a Crick Bullywug, and a prince is just someone who uses toilet paper down at the Crick. Brad D., the only pebble pot that isn't craven. The only sport Brad D. can't beat his family at is track and field, since they are so adept at running away. Jay Lomas, 72, aka Steelbreaker, Hard One's Gymspiration. Steelbreaker's neck muscles are so thick that even Jaina Bronzebeard couldn't cut off his head, should she really want to. Andrew A., aka Feldspar Liegarden, the half elf. Andrew is actually the product of two half elves, so instead of some super romantic and tragic tale of a human falling in love with an elf and being ostracized, he just has two super well adjusted parents who understand what he's going through. Taylor Papa the Sixth, a legendary bard to whom no item isn't an instrument except the lute, weirdly enough, never learned the lute. Dylan B., a super weak wizard who wields 12 swords, accidentally invented blade singing, the act of whirling your sword so fast that it makes a DJ scratching noise. Wiki wiki wah, indeed. Danny P., Bahumia's resident artist, painted Hard One's senior portrait at the Dwarfenage. Hard One asked if Danny ran out of paint trying to paint his quads, and Danny lied and said yes because he's a good person who can tell when someone's going through something. Tom P., father of the realm, the serenader of sleeping babies. Tom P. used to make house calls to the Frostwind Dwarfenage, and now we'll have to do it for the new and improved Thieves Guild that does not murder. Spencer Caskbrew, patron elder of libations, ale maker to gods and heroes of Bahumia alike. Spencer carries wine so vintage, old Cobb would say it's old as shit, brother. Pedro E., bard of the mountains, also bard of the sea, and bard of your local Applebee's on the last Friday of every month. Griffin SD, aka The Stranger, the Silver Dragonborn Eldritch Knight, and owner of the Badger's Pint Inn and Tavern. Update on the Badger v. Stranger case. The Badger was found murdered in his burrow. Whether or not the Stranger had anything to do with it is yet to be determined, but Pawpaw is on the case. Beardman Dan, the longest beard in Bahumia, and also the most luscious. Pawpaw can scramble around in there without getting caught because there's so few knots in there. Scott D. is a caterer who works for Cord and began making some sliders for Hard One's arrival when his head was almost chopped off this week. They're currently in the freezer. Aaron C., a magical bard who just assumes he's a really good musician. Unbeknownst to Aaron, his music is terrible, but enchants everyone around him. Nobody tell him his life rules. Hermes W., the Bat King, was recently murdered by a young bat usurper, but was then raised from the dead, Jon Snow style. Hermes tried to hang the bat traitor, but the bat just flitted its wings, so Hermes had to bite it to death. T. Alex, one of the greatest wrestlers in all of Bahumia, and thus one of the greatest lawyers down at the Crick. Parker E., Pawpaw's dad, just straight up a possum that had sex with Maw Maw. RJW, one of 3,000 RJs down at the Crick, hence RJ having to go by RJW. Spartus, a hill home halfling who runs the local paintbow range. Beverly had his 14th birthday there. He realized soon after that he was deathly allergic to latex paint. Adam R., the R-rated assassin. They pursue their targets totally nude, and once the job's done, they leave their victim posed in a very sexually explicit manner, and they say fuck a bunch. Cassandra MHP has so much HP, they sometimes grab their sword from the wrong side and don't notice until their enemies point it out. Danielle, the dastardly Dame. Danielle is so dastardly they once posted spoilers for an episode of NADPOD 2 minutes after it posted. Hugh C., aka Haldor Frostback, MVP of the Giant Wars, crewed on the SS Stormborn and fought alongside Elias and Red. Even though they've got a super tough hide, Haldor still doesn't wear shorts in the winter because they know it's a bad look. Manny the Mundane, accidental deity who got in the way of a lich's spell to reach divinity. When you fall asleep in class and your teacher doesn't notice even after you start drooling on your notes, that's Manny making making sure you get the extra winks you need. Daniel Yu, a.k.a. Multifor, the many-faced magician Multifor can't be snuck up on, but also can't use facial recognition on their new iPhone. But that's life, you know? Jordan DJ, legendary DJ of the realm. Their bass drops are so powerful, you need to pass a DC 25 constitution to avoid getting permanently turned. Jeffrey S., Lord of the Fjord, Born of the Sword, and Chairman of the Board. Congrats on the promotion, Jeff. It's going to be a kick-ass quarter now that you're in charge. Cutter W., a high-elf dandy turned Crick Barkitect. Since everyone left the Crick, Cutter has started selling timeshares to chosen soldiers looking to let off some steam and flog each other in atonement for their sins. Lex Sketch, the escape artist, can escape an extra planar gem prison with ease. All you have to do is pop your shoulder out of socket, then transform your soul into a microscopic mesh, a pure determination capable of transcending any arcane barrier, kid stuff. John S., a.k.a. Schubert the Mushroom, after months of nagging from Fungin, John finally decided to move out of Cragwater. They found a nice little rotting corpse right near the Galateron Glade, so stop by if you're ever in the area. Ryan M., Theala's younger sibling. Ryan's not sure they agree with her approach on everything, but she did get them a job as the mayor of Ezri, so they aren't complaining. Elena C., a Frostwind giant who runs a massive petting zoo. They haven't had any ice drake-related deaths in over 2 months. Andrew M., a Crick meat vendor who sells salted rattlesnake jerky called Slim M's. Sometimes the snake's still alive, but that's just part of the fun. Ricky, a.k.a. Tricky Ricky of the Cricky, recently drank an expired arcane energy drink and became a being of pure energy. They now go by Richard the Lichard. Michael McD, head mixologist at the Blue Mana Inn, also an amateur mime who performs comedy as part of the Blue Mana Group. Victor T., Balner's boy, whose loving dad was ripped from his family and transported to another world. He later wrote a best-selling novel about the adventure he imagined his father went on called The Boss of the Bags, or There and Dad Again, A Halfling's Tale. Henry A., a philanthropist who started a big brother, big sister type program called Hollow Buddies, where hollow bodies spend the afternoon with dwarfins. Lance W., a teen dwarf who actually has parents but has been marauding as a dwarfin to get street cred with the teens that hang out at the cemetery, sometimes pretends to be going off to brood, but really they just have a family dinner they can't be late for. Justin I., hot off the success of Feychella, Justin I. is spearheading the newest festival to hit the Feywild, South by South Fey. Caleb is a super loyal warlock whose pact demon got ousted by a bigger baddie, but Caleb remains in their service anyways, even though they have, like, no powers now. Clayton M., a Claymation Dalmatian. Well, if we're being honest, Clayton M. is a Mudmation Dalmatian, which is a stop-motion animation from the Crick. TJM, Akarot's childhood best friend who got a girlfriend and just kind of stopped hanging out. Maybe things would be different if they just stuck around. The Professional, the only lawyer to have successfully beat Pawpaw in litigation, won their client a healthy settlement for a hot coffee spill at the Dwarger's Big Borger's drive-thru. Jacob C., the water elemental's real child, is super pissed that Moonshine keeps calling their parent mom. Elena M., a barbarian who is so reckless they took a level of cleric because the half damage just wasn't enough. Gone off, boasts the most luscious crick knots in all of Bohemia, and surprise, they're a high elf who's just trying to piss off their parents. Mick Pucks, the codemaster who created our amazing website, also built Akarot's website back when he was trying to be a DJ. The website was amazing, but even that couldn't save the fact that Akarot couldn't spin for shit. Earl and Kathleen L., the dwarven couple whose engagement rings have a stone from Vineral's Minerals that does a plus D6 of fire damage. Dylan M. operates the only hot tub in all of Bohemia. It's crazy that there's only one, but it's because Dylan M. got a copyright and is very litigious. Jibe G., a trumpet soloist in Bohemia's beloved ska band Real Big Mishka. Corbin A., an all-star athlete who took the Galateron All-State track meet by storm, but was later disgraced when it was revealed they were using Longstrider. Atlas Stormreaper, a super chill person who neither storms nor reaps, but what can you do? We all bear the burden of our parents' sins. Jostrich, a jock ostrich who's remaking the movie Jaws with an ostrich. Cameron McKee, an interior designer at the Crick who brought carpeting to a previously mud floor only society. E.L. Drake, aka the Dregernaut, a hobgoblin who loves beer so much that he finishes the dregs of every glass at the tavern. Cameron C., a warlock locksmith. Rather than smithing keys and locks, he just casts spells to open doors. It's pretty cool, but not that helpful for people trying to change their locks. PJW, the Anger Ranger. He's a half-elf ranger who's currently lost in the woods, and it makes him very upset. Damiel R., probably best known from the Bohemian viral video, Dan Damiel. He was recently on Elfin, the Bohemia equivalent of Ellen, and indeed, he was back at it again. Quentin J. started the beloved Crick autumnal tradition of Cricksgiving, where you have your whole family over at your stump and eat crawfish as you argue with your loved ones about if Theala is a good leader. Joss S., a dwarven baker who invented donut holes. He gets very insulted if you call them munchkins, though. Dom R., a fearsome bard who plays his violin with a sword. He's constantly ruining his instrument, but it's badass as hell. Jeremy B., a retired tiefling adult film star. Jeremy B. is perhaps the most recognized man in the realm. Logan C., the opossum veterinarian who, during a routine checkup for soft spots, caught a malignant tumor in its very early stages on Pawpaw. It was successfully removed, and Pawpaw's been medically cleared for both scrambling and general mischief. Update, Pawpaw believes his tumor was caused by prolonged exposure to the fog by the Crick and is currently suing Ilsed. Baby dock, noun, a really tiny dock where small canoe airships park their vessels, baby dock. Jennifer V., the coach of an elite catch-em team from the Dwarfenage, introduced the Flying V as a means of producing the most scoops during the game. Colin G., the G stands for Glad Sucks. Colin is so smart that he saw how much Glad sucked from the moment he met him, so much so that he legally changed his name just to troll him. Matt H., an orc dork. He's big and scary and strong, but secretly loves to spend time reading graphic scrolls and playing nerdy games on his speaking stone. Jacob J., a rat folk model. Normally, rat folk are scorned and leered upon, but Jacob pulls that shit off so well that Renee begged him to model her spring line at the latest Esri Fashion Week. Destin C., the only other guy in Bohemia that has the same size pants as Hard One. Destin's calves don't hug the leg quite as tight as Hard One, but he's the only dude who comes close. Devin B., a powerful cleric who, every time he heals someone, be they friend or foe, gives them a lollipop. Nicholas R. once spent a night out beyond the wall with the Winter Wolves and refused a sleeping bag. They all thought he was insane, but in the morning they woke up and there he was just drinking some coffee asking why they slept so late. He called them summer dwarves. And finally, Jack W. is actually a Jack Russell Terrier. He is straight up Wishbone and he lives in Bohemia. Thank you guys so much to all of our Patreon subscribers and all of our listeners. Head on over to our Patreon and listen to The Short Rest and catch us next week for another episode. Thank you, everyone.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.